Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, it's Marcia Cook, and it's Tuesday, May 10th, and it's 7 o'clock somewhere. It's not 7 o'clock here, it's 7 o'clock Mountain Time, and it is 8 o'clock in Chicago, and it is 9 o'clock on the East Coast, and it is 6 o'clock on Pacific. This is all I've been doing lately because we're trying to get everybody in from all areas, and we're all on different time zones. But we're all here today. I have a great show today. I really do a good show. We have four great guests. And I'll bring them out in a few minutes, but I want to say a couple of things. And Denise, hi, Denise. Denise is here with me.
Hi there. Denise.
And what happened last week is what when we were on together, Denise and I didn't realize that Denise couldn't get back on. So I'm going to be trying to pay attention to see if Denise is something will happen when she goes to answer a phone. So I'm going to try to pay attention this time instead of just keep talking because I lost her the whole show. So, Denise, I'm so glad you're on. I don't want you to go anywhere.
All right, and I wanted to,
so far. Okay. And I wanted to do one thing first. I wanted to talk about Virginia and I with the new network here. And I wanted to thank people for listening to us because we're doing a great job, and we really are. I'm really happy, and so is Virginia. We're having great guests, and we've really been getting out there and been working 24 hours a day, all of us, but we're doing it, and that's a good thing. And there is a show tomorrow night, and Virginia and I are introducing Simon Rose, who's very inspirational. He's got a great imagination, and he's going to be having his own show, but we're going to be on the first show with him tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Central and 7 p.m. Mountain, and same time, same like today. And it's going to be a really good show, and he's going to be on once a month, and we want to welcome him, so then we'll be with him tomorrow. And then Friday, we have a show, Virginia and I, and it's with Julie Schulte, and she is of... This is what most of us, all of us probably need, which I do too, is the JKS Communications. And she's developed a company that specializes in promoting strategies for marketing. And that is the hardest thing for all of us. And that is certainly a subject we're going to talk about. And then on Saturday, we have a different show than we've ever had before. This is a Bonanza blog, and it's at 12 noon Central. And McGregor would be on. We never pronounce her name right, so we just kind of call her Ree. And she'll be on, and we're going to have a great time. And she's giving away prizes, and we're having it's a blog like marathon. And her new book, Kaylin, is coming out, and she's a great guest. She'll be manning the phones and doing the chat lines, and that's really going to be fun. It's the first one on Saturday. I want to see how this goes because we're going to specialize in doing different kind of shows, and Ree's got one on Saturday. It should be really fun. And we really got a lot of things planned, and hopefully I'll sleep one of these days, but I'm working on that. And I want to introduce our guests tonight. But first, before we do that, Denise is a book reviewer, and I think that Denise will, what we're going to do is, Denise, do you want to talk about do you want to say your website so they can go on for your email? And because she's going to be doing book reviews for us also, and because I've realized on my new site, which is, it's on Michigan Avenue Media, but it also is Michigan Avenue Book Review. And I'm starting to put a lot of book reviews on there, and that's really helping people get out there. And as we all know, there's never enough book reviews. And right now, this is working out really well because I didn't really imagine that people would really be finding out more about this, but they are. So Denise is also going to be a reviewer. So Denise, do you want to just tell them just how they can send, you know, where they can reach you to find out how to send you a book or PDF?
Yeah, that's fine. I actually just finally got up a blog on WordPress. So if any of you want to email me at writing and the number 2 inspire at yahoo.com, just let me know that you've got a children's book you'd like reviewed, and I'd be more than happy to take a look at it and then go ahead and put the review up on my Reviews with Integrity at WordPress. And then I think Marcia's going to go ahead and put them up on her Michigan Avenue Media.
Yes, I am.
As well.
I am.
Yeah.
And that, yeah, and because it's on the World of Ink Network also, and it, we're going to, that's, I mean, it really is. I can't imagine that it's going off like this. And I also have another one on my website. It's called, it's on a blog spot. It's Michigan Avenue Media, Let's Talk. And this is a new blog I put up for everyone if they want to go in there, because I, everybody knows that I talk about self-publishing and the problems and things that occur, and I think that this helps other people, because I've been doing this for years, and there are a lot of issues that people have, and they really don't know how to figure out what to do or where to go. So if they post something on there, we'll be looking at it, and maybe other people will be able to answer, or we're going to at least figure out what some of the questions are that are out there, because people really don't know what to do. And I had no idea until I started doing these shows. I mean, I knew they didn't, and they would ask me, but they're really doing some things there that they need to have some help with. And also, Suzanne Alicia, she was on our show a little, and she does her own, she has her own show once a month, but she is developing also book reviews, and you can reach her through me or Suzanne, she has her own website, but I will, I'm going to have her posted on mine, so, because she's coming up with some new programs where people can get optimization on Facebook and try to get out there. This is, seems to be the hugest problem for everybody, and she's really good at what she does. She's had the Freelance Connection, which is where she tells people how to at least make some money while they're doing this on blogs and other things,
right.
And people are making money, you know, and she is making money as a living. So she, this is really her career, and she's really worked it where she's trying to help other people, but she is now doing book reviews also, because everybody knows the book reviews really count a lot. I myself had, didn't have as many as I needed, and so an extra one is great. So the more book reviews, the better for everybody. So now I'm going to bring, I'm going to tell you who the guests are, and they are all, I've been on shows with them. I've had them on, like I've had a couple of on my shows before, and all four of these authors, their books are illustrated great. They have done tremendous jobs with the way they did their book. And that's why I have them on today, because this really is a show about trying to help people out there and trying to figure out ways that we can help each other. I know that since I've been doing this show, I have absolutely learned so much from everybody, including all of these people, because I've heard them on, and Bobbi Hinman was on Virginia's show, and I called right on the show because I thought she had such great ideas. Claudia, I've talked to her. She's got good ideas, and her book is great. Jan, I've driven her crazy a little because I've heard her a few things lately. And Sherry, I know from a couple shows, and her books are adorable. And I did give, I won her books actually in a contest, and I did have some little kids reading them, and they loved them. And so I, that's the best way to tell, and it was so cute. So I, now the people that are on are Sherry Ellis, Jan Britland, Claudia Graziano, and Bobbi Hinman. So we'll start with Sherry. Do you want to say what you are and who you are and how they can reach you, because you are really, you've done some great books. Hi, Sher.
Hi, Marcia. Great to be here.
Yes, my name is
Sherry Ellis. I am the author of That Baby Woke Me Up Again and That Mama is a Grouch. And where you could reach me is sherryellis.org or sherryellisbooks.com. And Sherry is spelled S-H-E-R-R-Y.
Which I had to go on and change it because I just spelled it S-H-E-R-R-I, and then I went, oh, no, I had to go in and change
it. Yeah,
it's everything.
Funny. Everybody spells it like 50,000 different ways. It's
I know. I know.
Yeah.
You've been doing this for a long time, so go ahead. So tell them what you do.
Well, I write articles for parenting publications. Both of my books kind of specialize in some common things that go on in households. That Baby Woke Me Up Again is told from a child's point of view who has a new baby in the house, trying to adjust to the new baby, keeping her up at night, wondering if this is going to go on forever, and being reassured by the mom that it's not going to last forever. So it's a cute book for the kids. And then That Mama is a Grouch is another common problem with households with young kids, toys strewn all over the floor, finger painting on the walls, messes in the kitchen, mommy's having a grouch attack, and the little kid can't understand it because, you know, she's a kid and that's what kids do. So both of them are humorous stories, but they're addressing very common problems that happen in households with young children.
And that's what you do. I know, because really that is, it's a common problem, and you made a good book out of it, and that's what sometimes the best books come out of the truth.
Right, because so many people can relate to these things.
That you're not kidding. All right, so we have, then we have Claudia. Hi, Claudia.
Hi, Marcia. Thanks for inviting
me. Oh, I loved having you on last time. And, okay, talk about your book, and it really is a beautiful, and talk about the illustrator. I mean, it's really a great looking book.
My book is called Meerkat Safari. It's a children's picture book. It's illustrated by Michelle Barbera. Michelle has since gone on to illustrate several additional books, the most recent one being Lance in France, with a children's book by Lance Armstrong. And my book, Meerkat Safari, was her first children's book, and it sort of grew out of our desire to create a children's book without, of course, knowing anything about what we were getting ourselves into. And so we navigated the sometimes treacherous self-publishing waters together. And this book is for sale on Amazon.com, and you can also buy it from us directly on our website, meerkatsadventures.com.
And you're also on Magic Blocks also, right?
And I am a Magic Blocks author. Thank you for reminding me. Magic Blocks is a new website, very cool. You can subscribe for just a couple dollars a month and get access to literally an entire library of children's books. And it's really, really neat, very interactive. You can flip through the pages with your child and have reading time at the computer. And there's also an audio function, so you can hear the book read to you by the author.
Now, did you do that? You did the audio separately?
I did. I am reading Meerkat Safari on Magic Blocks if you choose to go with the audio function.
And they can do it either way, the kids, right? They can either have it on or off. It's a great site. I mean, and your book looks really good on there. You know, I was just on there last night and trying to figure out how to do these things. You know, it is a lot to do. So, you know, that's what we're going to talk about afterwards. But there's a lot to do, you know, and this is one way to get it out in a good way, you know, where
it's not financially,
because you're not getting, you're not even, you don't have to pay for that. You just, you know, Jason puts you on, and that's great.
Completely free for authors. And, you know, I've made some money from Magic Blocks, which is saying something considering, you know, the effort that goes into fulfillment through Amazon.
It's still new. It's still new, but he's getting, you know, I mean, it's a new process that he started. So it's, you know, still in the, you know, but it's getting there. I was on it last night. It's getting there. It's good. And the other authors might want to look at that too. Okay. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
I was going to say you don't get paid on Magic Blocks, which is kind of a novelty.
Yeah. Yes, it is. All right. So let me get. Okay. Jan?
Yeah.
Hi, Jan. Roger Dodger. I saw what you wrote on Facebook. So is Roger Dodger here or not? Tell us a little bit about you.
Well, I'm Jan Britland, and I've written The Adventures of Roger Dodger Dog. It's a series, and there's 21 stories in all. There's 6 in print now. I have an advantage over some other writers, I think, in the fact that I have the character that goes with me to schools and to public appearances, and he's quite a presence in my area here because he's also the mascot for the Animal Welfare League, so I get a lot of press that way. But self-published, and I love it. I wouldn't do it any other way, I don't think, at this point. I'm just happy with the way things are going, and it's going
well.
You
know, because we want to talk about, because you do it through Creative Space, and I want you to talk about that in a little while because that's very interesting what you do. And your illustrations are beautiful. Do you want to talk about, you just want to mention the illustrator so we know who the illustrator is?
When I was looking for an illustrator, I didn't know where to go, and someone told me to go to Elance because you wanted to know where people can find things. And I found an illustrator in Norcross, Georgia, and his name is Mike Swaim. And I was looking for action-packed, colorful illustrations, and it's exactly what I got.
Well, you got
and
it.
I love it. It's very exciting.
And they are very,
very
colorful. They're colorful and they're very good. And you have a new book.
Oh, yes, and I have a new book, and it's Roger
Sage. I can remind everybody of everything. See, I remember everything.
Yeah, well, yes, it's Roger Sage Bunny, and the premise for it is all my books are written in rhyme, and Roger chases Bunny every day, and then one day he finds Bunny collapsed in the woods, and he brings him home, and he nurses him back to health, only to find out that Bunny is running because Bunny is scared. And, you know, Roger didn't realize it. He was kind of shocked at that. And, you know, it's part of it is where, you know, he realizes that he's been bullying Bunny all this time. And it's a little different twist because it's the hero of the story that's bullying without even knowing it. So
right.
It's being well received in the schools. And that's most
that's
of my
great.
Books are school driven. The teachers just love them and just, you know, some of the schools buy them for every classroom, you know, their first, second, and thirds, their kindergartens, first, second, and thirds.
And that's another thing. I want you to talk about that later, too, because that's very important, because it doesn't always happen that way. So I want you to talk about that, because you've got some very interesting, everybody on here does, and because I want to remember to talk about that. And I definitely want to remember to do Create a Space, because you do
okay,
that yourself.
Yeah. I won't forget.
And then, well, you also have somebody else who dresses up, which is Bobby Hinman. Bobby?
Hi. Then
you do that too. Hi, how are you?
I was just thinking when Jan said that she takes her character with her, I am the character.
Right.
Well, that's good.
I dress, my books are fairy books. And when I go to schools, when I go any place, actually, I wear fairy wings and an antenna, and my husband is usually with me, and he wears a wizard hat. So we become the characters.
Right.
And my books, I started off writing cookbooks. I just want to say that. That has nothing to do with children's books, and sometimes I'm not sure how I got into this. But then when I remember that I was an elementary teacher and have 13 grandchildren, I think I came by it naturally. I explain life's little mysteries. For instance, my first book was The Knot Fairy, and this is the fairy that tangles your hair while you sleep. And that's a problem that most children have, most little girls especially. And then
adults,
I went on to do
curly hair, and adults with
curly
hair.
Then I went on to write The Sock Fairy because I had to explain what really happens to your missing socks, because it's not the dryer, it's the sock fairy. After that, I wrote The Belly Button Fairy, which is the fairy that visits babies in the hospital and gives each one a belly button and measures to make sure they're all in the middle, of course. And then my most recent fairy book is one that was my husband's idea. He tried to talk me into doing it for 3 years. I resisted until I mentioned it to people, and they all said, you have to write this, and that's The Fart Fairy. And this is a little fairy that's always lurking when we hear funny tooting sounds or smell something funny. Kids love it. It's become our bestseller. We have other books that we're planning to do. I say we. My illustrator, who is a former Disney illustrator, Mark Wayne Adams, is just phenomenal.
Yeah.
It just amazes me that I can think of something and he can put it on a piece of paper.
And you are the publisher.
I am the publisher. My cookbooks were published by a traditional publisher. I found that I still had to do all the promotion if I wanted the books to continue to sell.
Right.
And when it came time to do the children's books, I decided that this was my adventure. I was doing it myself. I was doing it my way. Because I have to promote it anyway, I might as well do it and keep all the money.
And
I wanted
a good way to think about it.
And I didn't want somebody else's input as far as how the book should be put together and what the illustration should be. I had the vision, and I felt that I had earned the right to do it my own way. So
that's what a lot of people don't do, but it's probably a good idea if they have a vision of what their characters look like.
Oh, yes. You have to have a vision. And we have audio CDs with the book, with the story narration, and an original fairy song on each one. And the children can follow along as they listen to the CD. There's a little bell that rings when it's time to turn the page. And That's what I've been doing for the past 4 years.
This is great. So, all right, now we're all, like, so you're all out here. And I know that, Jan, you were asking a question of Bobby before the show went on. So it was a good question. So do you want to ask it so we can talk about that a little?
I forgot what I asked. I just
okay, you answer. Okay, you answer. I'm the memory fairy here, okay? So, all right. What, you asked her how she got into this and how, what, you know, how she did it, actually, the whole thing. From, you know, all, developed her own publishing company.
Well,
right.
The first thing I did was incorporate. And then I looked for an illustrator. I looked for the best illustrator I could find. And I did this by going online and searching fairy illustrators and children's illustrators. And I looked and looked until I saw one that had the look that I wanted for my books. And my first illustrator was this wonderful illustrator in Canada. Didn't work out for her physically to do more books, so that's when I found Mark, who I'm working with now. But the important thing was that I had to have an illustrator that had the same vision that I had and was willing to work with me and keep redoing things if he had to until it was the look that we wanted. And I think the illustrations for a children's book are just so important that when I see children's books that just have mediocre illustrations, it just rubs me the wrong way, because this is for the children. It has to be something that's, you know, for them.
Well, everybody on this show has really good illustrations, and, you know, that's the good thing. Now, Sherry, I don't know that much about who did your illustrations, but they're really cute. Do you want to talk about that for a few seconds, your illustrator? Because they're
sure.
Good
my
illustrators.
Yeah, my illustrator was Dawn Berry, and unlike some of you, I did not originally pick the illustrator. For my first book, That Baby Woke Me Up Again, I was paired with the illustrator. I did that for that book through Book Surge. For the second book, I tried for 5 years to publish this traditionally. I was unsuccessful. Book Surge was no longer an LLC, so I went with CreateSpace. But since my book was so similar to my first one, I decided to contact Dawn Berry again and see if he would be interested in illustrating it, and he agreed to do it. And the similarity between the two books, we have a little mouse character in each of the books that kind of carried over, where the mouse is doing some of the things that the girl is doing, and it's just a really fun thing for some of the kids to be able to see. So the illustrations are very colorful. They're interesting with the mouse character, and I think he did a really good job of the expressions on the characters' faces, really creating things that kids could really enjoy.
See, right, and you went with the same one. See, yeah, Book Surge.
Right.
I know Book Surge was, it is Creative Space, because I had done an adult book from Book Surge, but Creative Space picked it up. It's still, you know, it's still available on there. I do my books from Fidelity Publishing, but my book in original form was Book Surge, and the Creative Space just put it on, you know, and they're big. I mean, all of these places, you know, that are doing this now, it's just this whole profession, it's huge, you know. And Claudia, you talked about doing another book, I know, at one time, and I know that your book, absolutely, the illustrations are unbelievably incredible. I mean, they're just the way, it's just unbelievable. And do you want to do it? I know that you were unhappy about this, so how do you feel about your unhappy, you know, being self-published? You still want to go traditional, I think, which I think that, yeah, Vicky Russo's been looking at your stuff with myself, because, you know, I wish these publishers would pay attention to great-looking books.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you feel now? What do you
think? I think, you know, I did have exceptional illustration, and I really lucked out. The thing is that my illustrator now would, she essentially illustrated my book on spec when we did the book. And I don't think that I would be able to afford to pay her to illustrate another book, just given, not to, you know, be a downer here for our conversation, but
it's a reality. It's a reality for some people. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the numbers, when we did two different print runs, and we did actually do quite well on the first print run, and then
you sold a lot of books, though. You did sell a lot.
We sold almost 3,000 books.
That's a lot.
Well, actually, that's not true. A little over 2,000. I have quite a few left over from that second print run, and again, we really didn't know what we were doing. We just sort of followed our instincts, which may not be the best way to go. And because both of us had other jobs and careers, we really didn't put the time into marketing the book that we needed to really sell the book successfully. Although we're both incredibly happy with the quality of the book, and we get a lot of compliments on the book. And Michelle, my illustrator, has gone on to a successful professional career as a children's book illustrator. So it worked for her.
This is one of the reasons that you are on the show specifically, because I have talked to you before. Your book mm-hmm. looks fabulous. These publishers are not paying attention. I know that, I can understand it when there's a lot of books that shouldn't be out there. They're true. They're not that good. But everybody on this show has great books. Some people have decided not to go to publishers, and I understand why. But everybody somewhere in their mind would like a traditional publisher to pick it up only because of the marketing and not in the money factor, is that it costs a lot to buy your own books, and that's the problem. But my goal will be and still is to try to get these publishers to pay attention to what they're missing. Yeah, they don't have to look at every book, but as an agent, which I am, I decided just to self-publish myself because I couldn't take it anymore, and I had so many rejections, and I never thought I'd see my books. I do screenplays, so I wasn't thinking about my books, and I just went along with my screenplay career. But when I realized that now with the self-publishing I could get them done, I was thrilled to do that. But
and your books are great,
all marketing.
Great.
Pardon?
Yeah. And your books are great.
Marketing.
They're beautiful.
But my books, compared to others, I used clip art. And when I go to schools, they have no idea they're clip art. And I'm not an expert on that, and I thought for sure they don't know. And it just seems to be fine with the kids. And that's certainly a lot less money than it is with a regular illustrator. However, if you're going to brand, which everybody talks about now, which, that's the big thing with the T-shirts. And I think, Bobby, you have gifts. You do things too, right, with T-shirts and things when you
out
there?
We do T-shirts, and I found a source for little fairy dolls. So
wow.
I actually have been using these as giveaways. I can get them if I buy in large quantity. I can get them inexpensively enough that I can give a little fairy doll with a book, which really helps sales at book festivals.
Oh, yeah, I would bet.
Like that.
That's a great idea. See, that's the thing. It's changed. Even from the time that Claudia, when you did your... See, now it's so... Even in a few years, all of these things are changed, because now for the traditional publishers, it was always a thing where we don't know if it's ever going to go ebook or if it's going to go to Kindle, but Kindle is black and white. But now they have a lot of e-readers that changed everything for everybody. And I know that, Bobby, you have some books. I know that I have some books on ebook. I'm just starting with that. Claudia, is yours on ebooks, or Sherry, are you guys?
My Mama is a Grouch is on ebook.
Ebook?
It's very different. It's black and white, and sometimes the text doesn't quite line up the way it does in the book.
Yeah.
So I think things have to be improved a little bit for it to work for children's picture books.
Now, we're in the process right now of...
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. We're in the process. This is Bobby. We're in the process of having our books converted to ebooks right now, and my illustrator is actually doing the conversion. They'll be animated and have the music and the narration
be great
in the background. So,
do you want to say what you said on Virginia's show? Because you were talking about you were really hesitant about ebooks.
I resisted ebooks because I believe in holding a book in your hand and reading it, and I don't like the idea of children snuggling up with an electronic device. I think they should read books, and that's why I resisted it, because I guess I'm old fashioned. Because
the
world
is just
the
way people think. Yeah,
Yeah, the world is moving on without me anyway, and we decided that since so many books are being converted to e-books and the world is changing, we're going to go along with it. That it would be crazy for us not to if the market is out there. So that's why we decided to convert the book.
Yeah, and didn't the you did talk to the librarian.
And I did talk to a librarian about this at Book Expo last year, and she said, but they're reading. You want them to read. It's still a book. She said it's just in a different format, but it's still a book. And I hadn't thought of it as a book. I thought of it as a device. So I'm trying to come into this century like everybody else.
Well, the thing is, though, is that everybody was hesitant, but, you know, I had said this on a couple of shows. I had had a publisher on that's traditional. He's a traditional ebook publisher, AKW, and he said it would take a while for these books to. But now, because of all the different readers and because of iPad and iPod, you know, the iPad is incredible, and that's what's changed it, because Kindle is still not in black. It's still in black and white. But for the children's market, the iPad, I mean, that's what's happening now. So it came faster than people thought, only because they didn't know these new devices are going to be coming out. And there are a lot. Sony has one. I mean, they have a lot of them now. And people are looking on their phones. And, yeah, naturally kids, everybody really, I think, likes kids to look at a book. However, you're right. We have to face what it is now. And, you know, the books look great on iPads. They really do. The books, they do. And that's what Magic Blocks is. I mean, Claude, that's kind of like that, because when you go in Magic Blocks, you're looking at it on the computer or wherever, and it's so colorful.
Right. Magic Blocks converts your book to an e-format for you as an author, which is a great deal. I've tried to convert my book for the Kindle, and for some reason, it just wasn't working, and haven't been able to troubleshoot what the problem is.
It's not that easy, because I try. You know, I think it's easier if you don't have children's books, or if you don't have drawings. It's different with illustrations. It's not easy to format.
Yeah, they're not really prepared to handle, you know, large full color illustrations. Or even black and white illustrations. I mean, my book has full page illustrations with the text overlaid on the images, and for some reason it's just not.
Well, I think yours would be difficult because, right, it is. It's not exact. Yeah, it's like more. It's like artwork. I've not really seen a book that it's incredible. You know, the way it looks, and it might. I could see where it would be difficult. You know,
yeah.
Denise, are you back on? Or no, she's off now. Okay, because she was on. I'm just watching this because I lost her last time. But she is, okay, I think you might have a caller.
One point I wanted to make.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is that Jan? Was that you, Jan, you wanted to talk?
No, this is Claudia.
Claudia.
Yeah, I just wanted to throw in there about something about, you know, the social media storm that's been happening, and I really believe that's going to be a huge benefit to self-published authors.
Yeah.
And in this regard, I think the self-published authors actually have an advantage over the traditional publishers, is there's this whole trend happening right now where people are interested in getting recommendations from their friends and from other people, and are sort of resisting traditional marketing channels. So I think, you know, social media presents a way for self-published authors to, without much cost at all, really get the word out to a very large audience, and have people who, you know, like the book actually create the advertising for them.
That's what that Suzanne Alicia does, and I'm going to put her on my. I'm going to have her put some links on my site, because my site is www.michiganavenuemedia.com, because she is starting to do this, and I'm also having next Tuesday night Anastasia Haldridge, and that's her specialty, is trying to get people out there and to show them what to do, because there are, you know, literally now, it's so different than it even was 6 months ago. There are just so many places to go, and I think that myself included. You go on one site and you go, well, I'll go on another site. Then you go on another one, and by the time you know it, this is 4 hours later, and you're just, you know, it's exhausting only because you don't really know. And the one thing that is driving me crazy lately is, now, I had a show, and it was on exotic thriller writers, and they were great. I assumed they all knew each other. So I don't know why. I just did, because they were all on my Facebook, and I assumed they did. So I got them all on, and they didn't know each other. And with the children's books, I think that this one should know that one. And I know Virginia, she does all these trailers and whatever, and she's got so much out there, Virginia Grenier, and it's people don't know some of her. And I'm shocked because she's all over the place. But I don't know what the answer is, if maybe somebody has one out here now, is that why is it that, like, I know that Facebook, people don't buy your books. But we're all on it, and that's why, well, Virginia, now we have a page for World of Ink Network, you know. So I guess we can have the people that might be able to help each other, because I think all of us that are in this field can help each other with different ideas. And I think that's why I like doing the show in Virginia, because we're trying to bring things where people can figure out what to do and how to sell, and why some people get in schools and some people don't get in certain schools. And we are all over, you know, we are everywhere. And all of us are in so many different states, and everybody has different problems. But the fact is, on the Internet, because of all of this, there needs to be some way that we could all maybe get together more, which is why, you know, which I was on Red River before, and which now the World of Ink, where we can all do something where, because I have met unbelievable people because of, you know, Facebook, and not making money selling books on Facebook, but making connections and learning how to do things that I never thought I would have ever found out about or know. And that's why I would like people to maybe, like, even the people on here tonight, if we all, you know, pay attention to the different shows and each maybe tell each other what show is on or something, that might help us figure out some of the things, how to get more together, where we would all be able to help each other out there with our ideas and share them. Because I think certainly the four of you have great ideas, and I know it because I've listened to all of you. And, you know, and I've been doing this for years. And so it's not that I didn't know what to do. It's that there are so many new things to do. Mm. Does anybody have any ideas of what else is possible for everybody? Anybody want to take that one, Sherry, or anybody? Because you're all, I mean, all of you are doing this, in the, you know, all the time.
Well, I do a lot of presence on, this is Sherry, I do a lot of presence on things like Jacket Flap, which is a specific site for children's writers.
Yeah, I'm on that too.
I go on every week to see who the members are, and I welcome them, and I introduce myself. And, you know, sometimes you meet people, you know, one comment only, you hear from them, and that's it. But there are sometimes when you actually meet people that you develop relationships with, and that helps give you more ideas of what to do. So Jacket Flap
is a good one. Yeah, it's jacketflap.com. Right. Isn't that what it is? Yeah.
Right. That's a wonderful site for children's writers. I'm also on Goodreads, and you can have an author page on Goodreads.
Yeah.
Plus, you can read other people's books and write reviews for them. You can help each other out that way. I'm on Filed By. There's all kinds of things like Polka Dot Banner. If you're self-published, a very good one to do is spannet.org.
What was it?
So it's a wonderful spannet.org.
Oh, dot org?
Dot org, yes.
Can you spell it out?
You want her to spell it out, Denise?
Yeah, because she spelled it out.
Spannet.
Spannet. Okay, Spannet.
Spannet, yeah, .org. That's for self-published or small publishing companies,
right,
which we all fit into.
Yes.
Okay. Right. I mean, there's so many that you could be a part of, and just welcoming new people, getting involved with some of the groups that are on these sites is a great way to get yourself out there.
Okay.
To post your videos out there. I really think that could really help all of us get the word out, just the numbers to meet.
Yeah, because Virginia, she does great videos. She did one of my videos. I had some done, and then she did more. And she's also doing videos for, adult books, too. And she does a really good video. And those are important I mean, the YouTubes are really, it really matters. I think that helps. And I know, Bobby, you have the videos, too. You have videos on all of yours, you said, right?
I do. I have videos for all of my books. They were done by a wonderful woman. Her company is called Trailers to the Stars. It's trailerstothestars.com. And she does beautiful animated videos, and she has some people to do the voices, some actors. She was involved with the world of movies with Hanna-Barbera for a while.
So that, well, right. Well, that
and
was one of
so
the
she knows people who can do the voiceovers and everything. And they're wonderful professional videos. Mine are on YouTube, and they're also on my website, which I forgot to mention before is bestfairybooks.com. Had to get that out.
Yeah, I know. We will do that again. And I want everybody to keep saying, see, the reason I do it at the beginning and the end is because some people, if they don't listen to the end, I don't want to have everybody just do it at the end because then nobody will hear it. And, you know, because you don't know how long people are going to listen to the show. But, I mean, if people, there is somebody, you know, that actually emailed me yesterday and they want to know how they even start to self-publish. So, well, Jan, you do a lot with creative. Do you want to talk about that a little? Because I know people out there, they just don't know what to do. They have an idea. They have a book ready. They're not getting traditionally published. Where do they? I mean, I know where they start. You know, all of us know where they start, but they don't know. There's a lot of people. So, Jan, do you want to take that and say how you started, what you did was your first step?
Well, what my first step was, you know, I, of course, tried to get traditionally published in the beginning. And I did get some really, really nice complimentary letters from different editors. And because of my age and because I wanted these for my grandchildren, I said, I'm just going to have to get this done. So I just started asking everybody out there who knew anybody that could, you know, direct me in the right way. And I needed an illustrator. So Alyssa Banco from MommyWarriors.com said, go to Elance, and I found an illustrator,
right.
Mike Swaim, and I put it together. And then I, for my first two books, went to a independent publishing house, Pepper Tree, here in Sarasota, Florida, and they did a beautiful job on my first two books. However, as you go along in something, you learn more and more and more, and it's just like everybody says, they don't want to share their money, you know, what money they get in. So I went even further, and I started to do it myself. I had my illustrations. I had my stories. I knew enough about print shop and Photoshop to put them all together. I've helped other authors now get printed through CreateSpace. I don't know.
So you
I
did
don't
it, you did it very inexpensively,
and it,
too,
yeah. It. Yes, and at CreateSpace, it's for $39.90, and basically what you're doing is buying down your price. You don't have to pay anything. If you're only going to print one book or two books, or if you have a child who has a book that you would like to have printed, and really it would make a great gift, you don't have to pay anything. And
I can't imagine that, though. I see. I don't even know. I mean, you just go in there and you...
Well, I mean, they don't charge you they don't charge you a charge to do it. You have to pay a premium for the book. Say my book without paying the $39.90 would be $10.17. Once I pay the $39.90, it's going to be $4 and something to me.
Okay.
You know, it's
you go in there and put, you have your illustrations and your and the words.
I format it all myself. In one of my books, I have the illustrations and the words on the same, and the text on the same page. The last three have had text on one side, illustration on the full size, illustration on the other side. The other thing is that they came out absolutely beautiful. The covers are glossy, shiny.
Yeah, I've seen them. They
colors
really
are amazing.
Beautiful.
And I you know, I honestly I can't tell the difference between the independent publishers and what CreateSpace has done for me. I'm very pleased with them. They now have a feature where if you have a problem, you put your number in, they call you instantly back, and you get a human being, which they didn't have with my first book. So I've just recently redone the first book that I did with CreateSpace. I've recently redone it because now I really have a handle on it, and I've improved it tremendously.
But,
right. Yeah.
And so, and you put, and you just put everything together, and then they put the book together.
Then, yes. You, then you put you make it into a PDF file, and you upload it to them. They will let you know page by page. Say my page 10 isn't quite correct. They'll let me know it's page 10, not the whole file, so I can go back, change page 10, upload it again, and do it. The other nice thing about them is if I want to change something, if I want to change the ending of a book, like in this, in my book, Dr. Glee, I killed the flea off in the end. Some children were upset about the flea dying.
Oh, so you changed it. And you didn't have to pay. Did you pay extra? Because I know that's an extra charge.
No. No, because I've reformatted that whole book to have the illustrations go all the way out to the end like they have in my other books. And because I learned more. I keep learning every day. And I changed the ending. And it's beautiful. Yeah. It's a beautiful
thing. Sherry does that, too. Sherry, do you do Creative Space?
I did Create Space, but I didn't know how to format everything, so my illustrator did that. So if you're fortunate to have an illustrator to do that, he can send you the files, and then you can just upload them into Create Space. And
right.
I did the author program. I think it was $299.
Yeah.
I forget exactly what it was called, but it was very simple. You just upload
the
files.
Yeah, just that's the beginning. Right. I know they have one that's just that. Mm-hmm. And it was, yeah, your books look great. See, this is the reason that, again, that all of you are on it, because I've seen everybody's books and what they've done. Now, Bobby, you do everything from the beginning to the end, and you are the publisher. Which,
right.
Like, okay, I have my own corporation, which is Michigan Avenue Media. And so what people can do is if they have a corporation, they can make their books the court. You know, they're the
right. publisher. You can do it yourself. We actually have our own little publishing house because we hired the illustrator. I say we, this is my husband and I, because we decided to spend our children's inheritance and have fun.
Okay.
So,
way to go.
Right. So we hired the illustrator. We hired a graphic designer because we didn't have the ability to take the illustrations and add the text and put it all together. So we hired a graphic designer.
Right.
We hired an editor to make sure that everything, that every comma was exactly
number
where
one.
We're
right.
To
That's
be.
The number one thing. Right.
Which is really, really important. We
right.
found
which is the most
the printer,
important of all.
Yes, we found the printer that we liked. He happens to be in Seattle, and that's a long story that I won't go into how we found him, but. It's a wonderful printing house in Seattle, and they do have their printing done. You have a choice either in the United States or outside of the United States. When we decided to do the CD, I wrote the song, but we had to hire a professional singer and a sound studio. And then, you know, we just orchestrated all of it.
This is a little more costly, though, to do all this.
It's more costly. We found that the more books, of course, you order, the cheaper it is.
Yeah.
So we ended up really going out on a limb. Our first order of The Knot Fairy was 5,000 books.
Wow. That's pushing it. That's good, though.
And
he's confident.
Well, because of the number of books that we ordered, you know, we were able to get a really good price.
Yeah. Right.
And we believed in it so much that we just knew we were going to make a go of it. And
that's great. See, that's the thing. I mean, so you took it all into your own hands. Now, Claudia, does that make you want to self-publish again, or does it not? I think I know the answer to that.
You know, again, I mean, I really admire these women for their commitment to the process, and I think that's really what you need. You have to really believe in what you're doing and really make the time to do it right. It's, you know, what I tell people who ask me for advice, I often get this question, I've thought about, you know, doing a children's book, you know, what's your advice? And I would say, unless you're really prepared to dedicate a good amount of time to your book and really treat it as a job, actually, that you're probably not going to be happy with the process. It's really not
something really focus. Really focus.
Right. It's not something that you can do in your spare time well. I mean, you can do it in your spare time, but you really do have to have a commitment to it.
Yeah, Virginia and I had this author, Sudipa, and she has like 18 traditionally published books. And she really put it the way that, and when she talked, she was really right. She said, if you're going to do it like 20 minutes or an hour after you work at night, it doesn't work because you're too tired. And you're not really, you know, prepared to put everything into it.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't have any familiarity with what's it called? Creative Service?
Yeah, Creative Space.
Creative Space, yeah.
It's Amazon. It's from Amazon. If you go on Amazon, it's Amazon. It's a division of Amazon.
Yeah, I haven't...
Yeah, but right, I mean, that might be, you know, something for you to think about. And, you know, because it's a shame because your book is really good, you know, and that's one of the things. I hate to see you give up something that's so good when maybe there is a way that you can do your next book, because that's the thing. And I would like to see that traditional publishers would pay attention to people like yourself who don't want to. You want to really still be traditionally published. So, you know, I mean, I feel like I do this all the time, and I do talk about it. And the thing is that I wish they would pay attention, because if they would, it certainly would help a lot of people.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
And, you know, because I hate to see, one of the things is I hate to see someone like you want to give up because you have a great-looking book, and your book should really be out there. And, I mean, this is one of the reasons I do what I do, and I fight so hard for this because it's just unfair, and I know the world isn't always fair, but, you know, these are good books. I mean, and, you know, if the traditional publishers would pay attention, it might be nice, but like everybody, and Virginia and I have had a lot of shows lately, and what most people are saying is the same thing. You have to go out and do the PR yourself. Or hire somebody, because that is that's really the way it's you do the book, but then afterwards, it's really hard. Afterwards.
Yeah.
And, you know, and Bobby, you have your own company, so you know what you have to do. There's a lot of work.
Oh, I know. And there's nothing as motivating as having 5,000 books in a warehouse.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's motivating.
Yeah, that was really motivating.
Yeah. Yeah,
we've got Bennett on, and he's got lots of questions.
Okay. Hi, we have Bennett Pomerantz on. He's he'll tell you about himself, but he is a reviewer at Amazon. So hi,
there
Bennett.
Hey, Bennett.
I know.
Hi, ladies. How are we?
Hi, we're
good,
fine.
Good.
I've been listening in on this GabFest, and I wasn't even invited. I mean,
yes.
I'm hurt.
You were invited to ask questions. Yes, you were. But, you know, these are really good writers here, and all of these people, they have good books, and I know you have great questions. So what did you want
to
ask?
I will say one thing. I am waiting for that Fart Fairy book to come in and read it and review it.
I want that
book.
Okay, so I'll give her your address at another.
I can arrange that.
Yes. So
I'm hoping the audio is just as good for my Audio World column.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Let me ask you ladies a question, since I'm also I wear a couple of hats here. You know, Marcia said a comment that if it's only you're working only 2 hours a night, how much do you ladies feel you do in marketing and publicity of your books normally?
Well, I'm always working on it. This is Jan.
Yeah.
I'm constantly making contacts.
Yeah.
And getting it out there one way or the other. If it's nobody knows my name, I'm just trying to get Roger's name out there. And he's my main character. And
well,
like I
what
said,
I've heard about Roger, it's that close to Hank the Cow Dog, so you're doing very well.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'm serious. John Erickson's book, Hank the Cow Dog, had a national following many years ago. And that was a compliment.
I know. I wish they were related. But
talk to John Erickson and see if you guys can do a book together. That would be a great thing. Both dogs meeting.
That would be fun, too. That would be fun. My granddaughter's favorite book after mine is Hank the Cow Dog. So.
That would work out
great in my family. But I find that, I mean, everywhere I go, every person I talk to. I mean, my poor mother, she's 91 years old, and we're out, and if we're standing in a line, I'm talking to everybody. Yeah. Everybody knows about it. And I mean, that's at a small level, but you never know who you're going to meet. And I've met some fabulous people. We went up, we were invited to go up to Disney to the Best Friends, it's their pet care center, to do a video with Roger walking around their new facility and at Disney. And that's on YouTube. But, I mean, you just never know when your big break's going to come. And
so
I'm actually
that's what people have to do, right. And
yeah,
Because Bobby, you know what happened to you, because you want to talk about Costco, how you met the person?
Well, actually, I just wanted to answer the initial question. I made a pact with myself that I would do 5 things a day, 6 days a week for my business.
Okay.
So if there's nothing happening, I'm online or I'm making phone calls to schools or I'm doing something. I make myself do 5 things a day, and now it's become a habit. So this is all I do.
Is it only 5 or have you gone beyond that?
Oh, I go beyond. I go way beyond.
I love her. She's good.
Yeah. I heard her. You know, I heard her on Virginia's show, and I called up at the last few minutes. I said, "Oh no, I need to have you on the show too," because I mean, she had great ideas. I was listening to her. I mean, she really did, and she went out and she really did what she set forward to do.
Well, I exhibit my book wherever I can. I've been invited to be a guest speaker at a lot of the major book festivals, because they don't know that I'm just an unknown independent publisher. I just tell them about my books, send them copies of the books, and let them know how much I believe in myself and the books, and they're always surprised when they find out that they were self-published.
Okay. Can I make one suggestion to you, please?
Yes.
Stop saying you're an independent self-publisher.
Yeah,
stop that. Stop that. I'm slapping you on the wrist now. Pump, pump, pump.
Okay.
This is from a critic. Okay. Stop all of you, and I love you all dearly, but please stop the self-publishing thing. Say you're what you are, an author, writer, publisher, but don't say self-published. Because
no, I do that.
That's like putting poison in your mouth.
Right. It really is, but in particular, this reason I'm having this show the way I'm saying it is because, you know, I don't really emphasize it that much, but today, because I have such good people, I mean, like Sherry, I mean, all these people I have seen out there and heard them, and they have great advice, and they're great, like, role models for everybody else out there. But I agree with you, not to say self-published, because really, when you're out there, nobody cares. The only people that care are when you're talking about, like, the publishers. But the other people, they don't care where you published it, because they don't know what about this. They just know that they like a book or don't like a book.
Right. I agree. I mean,
never
I think we're
say
using
it.
We're using the words more because this is what we're talking about tonight.
Right, today.
Right, exactly.
But I don't go up to people and say, "Here's my self-published book."
Right.
I mean, I just present my book. And they just assume that it's traditionally published because it's
and they're beautiful.
You know, the books,
I was just
the
looking at
look,
them online.
Look nice.
Yeah. That's why all of you are on, because all of you have really something to offer, you know, and, you know, because, you know, there's a problem with a lot of books, and I'll, you know, they're not edited right, they're not, I mean, but in this particular case, all of you have great books, and they're edited, and you're out there for a career, and that's why you're on the show, because this is really reality. Your books are good. But everybody does need, as we all know, we don't talk about as much, is editing. And editing is so important. And I think what Denise has offered to do, you know, what she does now is she has started, you know, where she's doing the first draft editing for people. So she gets the book ready. And after that, they can go to another editor because she's just getting it so it's like put in a certain order and it looks good. Denise, isn't that right? You said you're calling it the first draft editing is what you really, and that's true. That's a very good thing to do because everybody needs that for sure.
Yeah, I order. Well, I also, you know, look for the spelling and grammar and word usage and just basically to help save some money, you know, before you send it off to a final developer, developing editor. You know, I do a real good run of it and try and get, you know, cleaned up pretty good so it goes on to its last stage, basically.
Right, and
she's also a good person. Don't tell nobody.
She's great. She's great. You know,
let me ask one question of all the authors, including the lovely Denise. Okay, Denise, I didn't want to forget you.
Thanks, Bennett.
When did you guys consider yourselves writers? The reason I ask this is I am doing Night Owl Reviews column, and I'm bringing back my old A Piece of My Mind column, and that will be the June column. Is all sorts of writers from all walks of life talking about when they first considered themselves a writer.
Well,
okay,
for my,
that's a good question. Go ahead.
For me, this is Jan. The minute the first line went on the paper, and the last line went on the paper for the first book, I was a writer. It just came out. It just came out perfect, and I was so thrilled. And from that day on, I've been a writer. And that's quite a while ago. And I just,
Sherry, what about you?
Yeah,
I think that I could say that I considered myself a writer. I mean, I've always enjoyed it, but when I first had my first book published and I was out marketing it, that's when I felt that I was really a writer and that I was actually writing every day, making that a part of my life. Then that was more of a career for me. It wasn't just a hobby.
Bobby?
I think with me it goes back to the cookbooks, which I started writing in 1984. That's when my first one was published. And when I held the first book in my arms, it was just like giving birth. I mean, there was, I just felt like, well, here it is. I have arrived. I am a writer. I wrote this book, and it was just a mind-boggling revelation there.
Claudia?
You're
writing for a profession, though, too. That's your profession.
Right, yeah. I work as a writer, and, Michelle has worked as an illustrator professionally now for many years. This was, kind of an experiment for us because neither of us had ever written a children's book. And, being a writer and being a publisher are two different things, and you definitely, going to self-publish, need to also consider yourself a publisher, not just a writer.
But do you consider yourself a publisher more than a writer or a writer more than a publisher?
I consider myself a writer first and foremost, yeah.
Yeah. And you are. I mean, you are, and that's, everybody here really is, we all have had, ups and downs of writing, but the truth of the matter is we're all still here, and that's a good thing. And that is really one of the purposes of the show, is to take the manuscript out of the drawer and get it published, however
right.
you can do it. And because that is, as an agent all these years, and not being able to do a lot for people because they gave up. Not because I gave up, they gave up. But the fact is, to take it out of the drawer and get it out there. And I know the first time I had, when I found out about, actually, what self-publishing was, because I used to tell people not to do it. And that was maybe 10 years ago, because it was really people would just not look at anything. And that was then. And then when I had first done it, finished my book, when I had just finished them, and somebody asked me if I was doing a sequel, I'm going like, a sequel? I can't even believe I wrote one. That they liked it enough to want to read it. This was not a children's book. It was my Love Changes book. And I really did love that book. And I just, the fact of getting it done for me and my Sala book, which is Michelle More Than a Survivor, I was so happy. And one of the things that I always find is, and even with my children's books, because I go with Fidelity and they do them, and the fact of the matter is, I am very happy that I did my books. But what I find is that most people are not as happy as they should be, because they need to be happy, because years ago this never would have happened for them. And their books are out there, and I do agree with you, Bennett, that you go out there and you just go out and try to push it as a book. You are an author. So I think that, for me, that's what I'd like people to do, is feel happier about the fact that they actually got these books made. Because 10 years ago, it might not have happened for them. It wasn't even affordable then. It was just, whoever did it was really, they spent a fortune. Like $7,000 people used to spend to do one self-published book. So I think everybody's lucky that's sitting here right now, or that we're talking to, because they had the chance to be able to do this. And if more people would feel this way, I think we would have more books that are, I mean, because I know what I see, and I know all these people left this profession, and they shouldn't have. They were really good writers. So, you know, that's how I feel about it, you know, which is what I say every week. But I just don't stop feeling that way because I know everybody here is trying to be out there, and they should. They all belong out there.
Well, there are two reasons why I consider myself a writer. So I don't want you ladies to think that I'm picking on you. I'm also turning the spotlight on me for 1 second so you guys can start eating me and tearing me to shreds afterwards. The two times I considered myself a writer, one is I wrote a short story which I didn't think would ever get published. It got published. And Marion Zimmer Bradley, the late Marion Zimmer Bradley, came up and said, "Is this your work?" I said, "Yes." And she said, "It's good." And my feet did not touch the ground for about 3 days.
Yeah, it's right. Somebody saying that is a really good. It's a good
and
feeling.
And the second time, I'm sorry?
It's a good feeling to hear that.
Yes. And the second time, when I first considered myself a writer, was I was in the grocery store and my newspaper column had come out and somebody says, "You're that writer dude from the newspaper."
Famous already.
Yeah, somebody reads my stuff.
Yeah, and you do columns. And, I mean, you've been around for, you've done a lot of things. And that's why, you know,
I'm a newbie. I've only been around for 36, 37 years.
I know.
So,
when
you
appeared
new.
On my show the first time, and you did tell me what I did wrong, and you're right. And, you know, I did something wrong, and I am still probably doing it because I'm not saying, "Hi, it's Marcia, and it's Michigan Avenue Media." And, you know, we're probably going to end the show pretty soon, but I want, like anybody, everybody would like to say a last remark and their websites so everybody will know where to reach everybody, including you, Bennett. Bennett, tell us your website and where they could find you first. We'll let you go.
Well, ladies first, always.
All right. All right, Sherry, go ahead.
All right. Well, I would say if you're an aspiring writer, make sure that you're getting out and reading a lot of books and then write every day to kind of make yourself a better writer. And then, don't be afraid to go ahead and self-publish because if you know your market and you know how to reach your market, you will sell books.
Yeah,
My website is sherryellis.org or sherryellisbooks.com.
Okay, that's good. All right, Claudia?
I would have to say that if you are interested in publishing children's books, that you should really hang out with other children's book writers and swap stories and go to, book fairs and associations and really, you know, develop your network that way. I think we've seen that, writers can really help each other.
And, I agree. That's really important.
Yeah, and my website is meerkatsadventures.com. And thank you again. I need to jump off because I need
to
actually...
Okay, go ahead. Right. Yeah, and I appreciate you coming on. I really do, and thanks. And, you know, I do think that your book is great. So I know that you're going to be doing a second one soon.
Thank you again.
Take care. Thank you.
Take care.
Okay. Bye. Bobby?
I think that if you're going to write children's books, you should really know what a children's book should look like, and you should know how many pages a traditional children's picture book should have and how much text a child of that age can handle. And I think it's really important when you write a book to know what age you're targeting, because a lot of times I'll say to people who hand me their books to read, "What age is this for?" And they say, and they don't know. And you have to know who you're targeting, and you have to form focus groups and have some children of that age to read your manuscript to before you put it together and listen to their feedback, because they are so brutally honest and so bright, these kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
So just know what you're doing. You know, get a good picture of it before
start. Well, being a teacher, I'm sure, helped you, know what grade, what level you were writing for, which is true, which you really should know, and a lot of writers don't know.
Yes, you have to know who you're writing for, or you just miss the target audience.
Do you want to give your website?
Yes. Best Fairy Books, that's plural, bestfairybooks.com.
Okay, that's good. All right, and Jan? Yeah, okay, one thing I think you should do also, I don't know if I should, just say this. Put your name out there more, because you know what? I think they need to know who you are too, because you are not, it's not, you are not really, you are Roger Dodger, but you're not, because you have a lot more to offer, because you are doing these things that can help people and they can ask you questions, because honestly, you say it's not that big of a deal, but it is not that easy to do what you're doing. You know, you still have to create this and go on creating it. It doesn't just come out of people like that. So I think go as Jan Britland also, so people can know who you are, because
well,
you are
I do.
Important. Yeah, I think you are more than you did at the beginning.
Oh, I do. I do use my name, but I feel that
I refer to you always as Roger Dodger person. But
right, Roger Dodger Dog. People will remember Roger Dodger Dog.
I know, but you know, you are.
And then they can always see my name on the front of the book or on the website,
right.
Which is RogerDodgerDog.com. And my advice to anybody who wants to write a book, put it down. Get out there, find out how to do it. If you need advice, call people like I did and ask everybody. Everybody knows somebody. So, and get your book out there, because there's nothing like having your book in your hand when you walk in that store. And that's it. And that manager of that bookstore says, "Okay, I'll take it."
Yeah.
And it's just great.
Is that what you do? You go to the bookstore. You go into different.
Oh yeah,
stores.
I go everywhere.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I go everywhere. I'm working constantly.
So when are you coming to D.C., Jan?
You know, actually, I'm coming to D.C. I'll probably be there pretty soon.
You're going to look me up, and I'll introduce you when you speak.
I have a great granddaughter there, so
that's good.
I have to come up.
Well, we know your daughter is grand, but no.
Yeah. See, Bennett, wouldn't you say? I mean, this is what these people that were on the show. Honestly, they're all good.
They're very good.
Virginia, this is a very good group of writers, and that's why, you know, they should be focused, because they are good. You know. Okay. Now we're going to hear your website and your column. So just
I work for Night Owl Reviews. I work for Fair Decor. I'm also on Amazon.com as one of their top 1,000 reviewers. You know, I'm on Facebook as Bennett Pomerantz. Always look me up. Send regards. Send hate mail. I don't care. Two to one, Marcia's stuck with me. I come visiting too often.
I know. You're like a regular. Denise, are you still here? Yes, you're on.
And Denise is a saint, but don't tell nobody. That'll go to her head. But I will give my greatest writing advice, which is what Ray Bradbury taught me. And Ray said, write every day. You may write one day the greatest novel in the world, and the next day you may write trash, but you're writing.
Yeah, see, that's it. I think this is really, we gave some great advice today, and that's why I really think, I hope people listened, and they will listen in the archives, I know they do, because this really, because there are so many people that don't know how to, you know, get their work out there. And so now, this has been a great show. I appreciate everybody coming on, and everybody's always welcome to come on my shows, because I like my shows to be, you know, there's different people. I like to have different types of writing all the time and different types of shows, so I give to people what I think they need to hear, because they ask me. And Denise, we made it the whole show, and you're still on. I'm so happy. I did not even know last time, all right? And I want to thank everybody, and I'll be on tomorrow night again with Virginia. We're going to Simon Rose, and this is like my thing now, what I do. And it's too bad none of my family that would be laughing at me doing all this, because they always said I could talk, so now I got somebody that listens maybe to me, so we got everybody And
to you, Marcia. We don't follow you. We listen to
right.
you all
I know,
the
that's
time.
Okay. And this is, we're going to, okay, and next week, well, we have, for the next Tuesday, but you will be with me, Denise. I know that with, Bennett will be with us too, right? Because we have Anna
I'll
Sarah
be with
Holmes
you on Saturday,
right? Yeah, Saturday, but we also on Wednesday, on next Tuesday, Anastasia's on.
Yes, I will be there next Saturday, next Tuesday.
I mean, these people are really great, and I think these are such interesting people that we're having, and I'm really glad that I met all of them, because honestly, this is giving people what they really need out there. And I think, you know, and that's why Virginia, when she has her show, I mean, that's how I've met a lot of these people from Virginia, too. So, you know, and Jan and I met from Red River, and Jan, you know, we're all out here, and, you know, so, and I thank everybody for being on. It's been a really good show. And Bobby, I'll get you Bennett's, he's on Facebook, right, Bennett? So you can.
I'm on Facebook.
So Bobby,
anytime anybody wants to scream at me.
So and
great.
I'll
scream at you. I'm going to be in your area this weekend, so I'll let you know where I'll be.
Okay.
Oh, where are you going to be?
I'm going to be I'm doing a book signing at Costco in Chantilly, Virginia on Saturday and Costco in Fairfax, Virginia on Sunday.
That's great.
And when are you coming to the Maryland area, which is near the D.C. border or the D.C. Costco?
I'll be at the Gaithersburg Book Festival the following week.
I love you. I will see you there.
Really?
Wonderful.
We will touch rings.
Wonderful.
So is that
wonderful.
What you do? You go to all these fairs, right? And you do all of this.
I go every place I can possibly go.
Yep. Okay.
Anyone who will have me and my fairy wings, I'll be there.
That's good. All right. So I, you know what? That's why, you know. So I think if people really want to know what to do, they have their work cut out for them because they really have to get on the phone and do this. And on Friday, we're going to see what the publicists say, too, because I want to know what they say that we should, you know, that what could help people. Because, you know, but I think what we're all saying is it's when we do it ourselves, it's with our heart, and these are our books. So I think that it works, and apparently it is working because everybody's going to a lot of places. So that's a good thing. All right, so good night, everybody. And
good night.
You. Talk to you.
Good night, everyone.
Bye.
Good night.
Good night.
God bless.
Bye-bye. Good night. There we go.